Amen. You may be seated. It's a blessing to be here again this morning. And thank you, Aiden, for those comments. And thank you for that update from Bolivia. It's a blessing to hear God working there. And it's been a blessing. So this morning, I was just, my thoughts went a little bit to the time of year that it is, and this time of year the world celebrates Christmas, and we know that Jesus is probably not born this time of the year, but as I thought about the significance that surrounds his birth and his coming to the world, it just really blessed me again to think about that. And as I thought of those things, the question came to my mind, why did Jesus come to earth? And I wrote down a few different, looked into why Jesus said he came. There's many things that he said he came for, but I think the overarching theme, that the reason that Jesus came, was he came to do the will of his Father. And so I'd just like to read John 5, verse 43. I'm just going to read a verse here. John 5, verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. I got the wrong verse. I am come in my Father's name, and if another shall come in his own name, you will receive him. There was another verse here that I was looking for.
30.
Yeah. Anyway, that's not exactly the verse I had in mind. Sorry. But Jesus said that he came to do his Father's will. And then if we also turn to Luke 2, in verse 44, I think it is. Oh, sorry, 49. And this was when Jesus was, his parents found him in the temple, and he says, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And it's easy for me to get distracted from the many things that Jesus did and forget the focus that Jesus was sent to earth to do the will of his Father. And that is played out in many different things. But it's easy to get distracted from that. And then if we look at verse 30, there is, Aiden had mentioned there, I have down here, it says, I came not of my own self, sorry, John 5, verse 30. I came not of my own self to do nothing as I hear. I judge, my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. And from that, we see the sole purpose of what Jesus came to do is just to please his Father. And as I thought of those things, the question came to my mind, then what is our purpose of being on earth? For what are we saved? This is, and so that's what I'd like to talk about this morning is, why does God have us on earth? And when he died to save us, what did he save us for? I believe he saved us to bring him glory. And our lives should be showing forth his glory. And everything that we should do should be glorifying God. And if we turn to Luke 17 and read verses 7 through 10. My thoughts are a little bit scattered this morning, but bear with me here. Luke 17, starting in verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come in from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will he not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Do you think, doth he thank that servant because he did the things which he commanded him? I trow not. So likewise, when ye shall have done all these things which ye are commanded, ye will say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which is our duty to do. And as we go about our lives, is that the spirit that's coming from our lives? Do we see ourselves as servants like that? That we are just doing what is our duty to do? I find often in my life that pride wants to slowly take my focus from glorifying God with my actions to my actions that I think glorify God. And what I mean by that is, it's easy to get focused on all the things I'm doing to please God versus living a life that is in the pursuit of bringing God glory. I'm not sure if I'm making sense with what I'm trying to say there. It's easy to start looking at all the thing at all I have accomplished instead of bringing God all the glory he is worthy of. It is my prayer that I can have that kind of heart that Jesus describes in these verses in verse 10 there. What we do many things in this life, for what purpose? You know, as we come to church and we sing, what is our purpose in that? As we meet people and we share, what is our purpose? It is easy to, as we share with people, to think that, you know, we're trying to save someone from hell. We should not, and I personally feel we should not call men to repentance for their personal benefit. We should call men to repentance because God deserves the glory from their lives. Is it? And as I was thinking about, and then as I was thinking about this, the account in Luke 7 came to mind. Let's read Luke 7 starting in verse 36. And this is where Jesus was. We'll read 36 to the end of the chapter. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee that had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he was a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering and said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence, and the other 50. And when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" And Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned unto the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins be forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said unto the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." I feel like the only difference between this woman and anyone else is that she saw who she was before God. Do I see myself as having been saved from horrible sin? Or was I a pretty good person? Our love for God is directly connected to the way we see ourselves. We all know the horrible things that Hitler and Stalin and many others have done. But we must realize that without the grace of God in our lives, we could all do the same horrible things. What I want to impress on our minds is all our energy should be aimed at bringing God glory, and as we look at the debt that we owe and we cannot pay, it should consume our lives with service to God. If our lives are focused on bringing God glory, not much else will matter to us. Where we are, what we eat, who we are around, or what we do doesn't really matter that much. Our goal will be to bring God glory. And I, in my life, I have a lot of room to grow in this. But when I stand before God at judgment, what will my excuse be for the glory that I could have brought him and did not? Thank you. That is all I have.